lot that we're going to talk about today. It's Parshas Ki Yisavos, Tashanai and Dalet. The pasuk is the following. It's Parakof Chas Pasuk Beis. Now, remember, the way this parsha works is the beginning talks about Bikurim and Meiser Sheni, and then it goes into the curses that were given on Har Grizim and Har Abel. All those curses, you know, they were given over to Klal Yisrael and the different Shvatim. It wasn't given then. It was going to be given later on when they entered Eretz Yisrael. But then comes all the brachos and then the curses. They got a bunch of brachos together, about 15 psukim worth of brachos, and then they have about 60 psukim worth of curses, and how HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to hit them with a fox and hit them with a box and hit them here or there and hit them everywhere. It's going to be really, it's crazy, but those are the kwalos that are mentioned over here.
Yeah.
We're going to, we probably, because the green eggs as well, which is also not kosher, I believe. But Parakof says, Pasuk Beis says, Uvo'u Alecha Kol Brachos Ha'ileh, all these brachos will come upon you, V'yisigucha, and they will reach you. They will reach you, and that's really the word we're going to concentrate on. Kisishma B'kol Hashem Elokecha, when you listen to the voice of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God. Now, as a side note, this is repeated in the curses, that the curses will be vihisi gucha, they will reach you if you don't listen. Kilosishma B'kol Hashem Elokecha. So it's the opposite by the curses. So the question we're first going to ask is, what does that mean, that they will reach you? What does that word vihisi gucha mean? What do you learn from that? So the Ibn Ezra, Rabbeinu B'chaya, and the Sforno, all Rishonim, they all say the following, that the brachos will come on their own, even if you weren't looking for them. Even if you weren't searching out for them, you weren't going for them, you didn't want them, nonetheless, these brachos are going to appear on your doorstep, and if you're not even trying, you're going to get them automatically. They're just going to follow after you. The Mi'am always brings a story to illustrate the point. He says, a simple man heard from his wife that they were selling fish in the marketplace, and they were selling it for a very cheap price. So he didn't really want fish, but his wife really wanted fish, so she begged him to go. So he said, all right, fine, if I have to go, I have to go. So he went to the marketplace. By the time he got to the marketplace, it was already late, and all the good fish had been sold. So he got to where they were, and he said, listen, I got one fish left, said the guy in the shuk. He said, I got one fish left, so I can give you that fish. So he said to him, he said, well, you know, let me see the fish. So he took a look at the fish, and the fish was like mangled. There was like something wrong with it. He had like a bump in his back. He was like a Quasimodo of fish, and whatever. It looked like a really weird fish. So the guy said, listen, I'll give it to you for half price. The guy said, half price? I bring this home, my wife is going to slap me in the face. She's going to be like, why did you bring me a mangled fish? There's no way I can bring this home. There's no way I'm going to buy it. He said, listen, I'll give it to you for less, but it's a great fish. It tastes good. It's just, it looks strange. What can you do? It looks strange. The guy's like, I can't. There's no way I can do it. So the guy said, a quarter price. He's like, all right, quarter price, I can do it. He's a Jew. It just happens that way. So he went ahead, he bought it for a quarter price, and then he took it. And he's taking it home, and he's looking at this thing, and he's like, I can't tell what kind of a fish this is. It's like a mangled, he didn't understand what it was. So he decided he was going to bring it to a certain shop, and he was going to just chop it up into pieces. It'll make like gefilte fish. And this is the source of gefilte fish. And he didn't know. But he went ahead, he brought it home. He brought it over to this place, started chopping up the fish all together, and when he got to the stomach of the fish, chopped it open, and he found a pearl inside there, a massive pearl inside the stomach of the fish. So immediately he looked at this thing, and he forgot about the fish completely. It took like a couple pieces, but he ran straight to a gem dealer, and he went to the gem dealer, brought it over, right? The guy looked at it, and he's like, where in the world did you get this thing? So he told him the story, and he said, it just came into my head. I wasn't even trying for it, but it just came up to me. So the gem dealer told him, you know what? That reminds me of a story. And it's always good when you have a story within a story. It makes you tell the original story even better. You can't get any better than that. So the story within a story is that the guy that Jeff Beeler told him, you should know that's how I became wealthy. You have to know that's how I became wealthy. How did you become wealthy? My dad, my father, was sick. And he went to a doctor. And the doctor said, listen, the only way you're going to really get rid of this sickness, I don't know, this cough or whatever it is you go out to the open air and you're in the, you know, the fields, and you have to be around this area. So listen, there's a place not too far away from the town. It's outside the town. It's outside of the hustle and bustle of the town. And you can be by the river. You can have the air coming by you. It'll be a nice place to go. It's where all the vacationers, that's where they go. They go to this place. It's like, that's Lake Geneva for you. You can go check that place out. You'll love it there. So the father was like, listen, I'll go, but I'm in the middle of work right now. I don't think I can, whatever. And the doctor told him, you're not going to get healed until you go. So I'll go, but you know. So it happens to be in this place. People used to always visit there, but they wouldn't go in the winter. It was a little too cold. They wouldn't go in the summer. It's a little too hot. They would always go in around spring and fall time. So this is in the middle of the summer, and it like wasn't fall time yet. Nobody was there, and he kept pushing off. Finally, the doctor's like, listen, if you don't go now, you're going to get there when everybody else is there, and you're not going to get me. You're not going to get the refuah. Go right now. And he commanded him to go right now. So the guy said, okay, fine. Yeah, I'll go. So his father, the father of the gem dealer, went to that area, found a nice spot, and he said, all right, I'll settle down over here. He's about to go down, and he's like, you know, I don't like this place. So he goes and moves to another spot, right? He goes to another spot, and he's like, this also doesn't work for me. He moves to a third spot. Finally, he picks out a fourth spot. He says, you know what? This one looks the best for me. So he has a tent with him. So he takes the tent, takes the peg, and nails it in the ground. As soon as he nails it in the ground, he hits something. So he picks up the peg, looks in the ground, digs a little bit, and he finds a treasure box. In the treasure box is a ton of jewels and gems that he finds inside there. And he had absolutely no, obviously, I had absolutely no idea. He just came right into, I'm sorry?
He's all better now.
Yeah, now he's pretty good. I don't need music anymore. No, it turns out he died. And that's how the gem dealer had got all the gems. That's not the story, but it does, you know, that would work. Either way, but his father thus became extremely rich, extremely wealthy, right? We kept all the gems, went into whatever, went into a business of gem dealer, and that's how this guy became a gem dealer. See, the point, says Niam Loez, is when a Kadosh Baruch Hu wants you to become wealthy, it can happen without you even trying to get it. That's the bracha of Yisiguchu. All these brachas are going to come upon you. They're going to reach you even if you're not trying for it. You're not going for anything. You're not doing anything at all. Says Memoi. That's the idea of what's going to happen. The Ben Ish Chai in his paper Od Yosef Chai brings another story of a guy named Ephraim. I've said it in the past. I'm not going to say the story again. It's a long story. It's like four pages in the Ben Ish Chai. But regardless, it's a great story again where he was running away from what was happening and yet the brachas kept coming to him. Now, let's go into a different idea. The Gemara Brachos Daf Lamed Hey says our famous line. It says, "V'haya im shamoa tishmoa mitzvosai." If you listen to my mitzvos, then in the end, "V'yasafta diganecha," you will collect your grain. "V'sirosh kavitzarecha," and all of your wine and all of your oil. You'll get all this stuff and you'll collect it all yourself. So the Gemara says, "Wait a second. What does that mean, v'yasafta diganecha?" If you're doing God's will, etc. And the Gemara goes through and says, the time when you're doing God's will, if you're really doing what Hashem wants you to do, then you won't gather your own grain. Other people will gather your grain for you. And you'll just get it. That's what if you're doing God's will. But if you're not doing God's will, if you're not acting in the right way, then you stop to dig an echo. Then you're going to have to go to work, and you're going to have to go gather your own grain. That's what he says. Okay, so if you're not, the kasha is, where do we say v'yasaf tiganecho? Where it says v'haya im shamoa tishmoa mitzosai. If you're listening to my mitzvos, then you'll gather your grain. So that sounds like you're doing the right thing. Says the Gemara, here's the pshat. The pshat is that you're not doing the right thing, but says Tosfos, you're sort of doing the right thing. You're doing it, but you're not doing it in the best way possible. You could be doing it in a better way, but you're not doing exactly what a Kadosh Baruch Hu wants. Says the Ksav Sofer, it's an unbelievable line. People can work, they can get involved, they can do everything they have, but if they're not concentrating on their learning, then their work takes away from what they're doing, from what they are. So it goes like this. A person who has time, hours in the day to be able to delve into Torah and understand Torah concepts and try to figure things out over there, that guy is doing the old in the world, and if he's on the level, if he's doing it in the right way, then everything will be done for him. He won't have to work, even though he's wasting, so to speak, his time by learning Torah all day long. He won't have to work because HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give him everything he needs. But a normal guy who's doing what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants by doing mitzvahs, he just doesn't have the time to delve into Torah. He has no time. He's working all day. He's able to go to learn a little bit at night, and he's able to do something like that. That's v'hayim shamo tishmo mitzosai. The problem is, you're still going to have to continue to work. Only if you're willing to pull yourself to the next level of saying, I'm going to be beyond that, I'm never going to do it ever again, says the Ksav Sofer, can you be at the level where other people will do your work for you? Otherwise, it's not going to happen. That's the idea. If a person gets to the point of the brachos in this week's parsha, where he decides, I'm not working, I'm going to put all my trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm going to let him take care of me, then v'hi siguha, says the pasuk. It will reach you, you'll be taken care of, and you won't need to work another day of your life. You'll get everything you need. However, Reb Chaim Knievsky talks about this, and he says this really is based on a different machlokas. This is a famous machlokas. The Ramban writes in the Chumash that if a person really wanted to, and this is a very difficult level, but this is really what the Ksav Sofer is talking about, you should never go to a doctor. Just remember, this is the Ramban, he was a doctor. Ramban says you should never ever go to a doctor. Take care of yourself, right? And if you get sick, ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to help you. And if you truly had the right amount of emunah and bitachon, says the Ramban, then you'll be fine. You'll never have to go to a doctor ever in your life. The Chovos HaLevavos, written by the Rabbeinu Bechaya, not the same Rabbeinu Bechaya that wrote on the Chumash, but the Rabbeinu Bechaya, end up writing, the Chovos HaLevavos says, absolutely not.
That's not how we hold. We hold you have to have ishtadlus, you have to try hard, and then after you try hard, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give you what you need. But if you don't have ishtadlus, if you don't do anything, you just rely on HaKadosh Baruch Hu for miracles to happen for you, it'll never happen. It's a famous machlokas Ramban and Chovas Levavos. Yeah.
That's what you're talking about with the pearl and the fish's mouth, because I don't know too many people.
So to speak. Yeah, like somebody who's able to go up there and just automatically get it. Meaning that level is sort of like a Ramban Dika level,
right,
where you're not expecting anything, but it just comes to you. But the Chovas Levavos says you cannot rely on that. And it's usher to rely on that. It's a famous machlokas. Some people try to put the Chovas Levavos and the Ramban together. They try to say that they're really saying the same thing. It seems pretty clear from the Ramban. The Ramban's talking about a special person. There are a lot of people that have tried to be like the Ramban in their lives and have not succeeded. And unfortunately, they've gone their whole lives. They won't buy, let's say, life insurance or medical insurance or anything like that. And things happen. And they can't, you know, what are they going to do? And they have to collect in order to survive. Many people try to be like the Ramban, but the truth is the whole school of others.
For you, it's for
everybody else. Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, but you know, it just doesn't work out the way it goes. The Chovas Levavos is usually the more accepted derech, although it depends on where you live, depends on who you are, but they're both drachim. Says Rav Chaim Kanievsky, the Ramban says, the Ramban's idea is stemming from this pasuk. He says that the idea is that v'yasi gucha, if you're in that level where you deserve the brachos, then they're going to come to you no matter what. Says the Chovas, that's the idea, says the Ramban, it's straight out from over here. The Chovas Levavos would say, not normally. Only when you're in a matziv of bracha, where everybody's doing good, where everything is going unbelievably well for Klal Yisrael, that's when you can expect v'yisi gucha. But otherwise, you got to do your ishtadlus. You still have to try. You got to put yourself together. That's the way to be able to understand it. So that, I think, connects with Exodus over. Now, Unkelus,
I'm sorry. You have to do it. Okay. Do you have, let's say you say, I'm not going to go to a doctor.
Yeah.
And you get sick, and you're like, okay, that's my servant's disorder, that's my kapara, whatever happens, happens. And you accept that by yourself, that you may not get a refuah, but you have to go to the doctor.
I, according to the Chovas Levavos, still yes. The Ramban would say it works. It depends on what level you're on. Depends what level you're on. I don't know
what
people
that
are on this level. Yeah, I mean,
right.
You have to be a very special person.
Did you chew the Shmartam or anything?
Yeah, I mean, yes, because the Shmartam of Lenapshu Seichem is taking care of yourself. But really, we deal with Rapo Yerape. And the Ramban says, Rapo Yerape, Mikan Nitin Rishus Lerope Lerapos. The doctor is given Rishus to heal. Meaning, you shouldn't need a doctor. But he's given Rishus if you really want to go. That's the concept. Yeah,
even according to the Ramban, I think in certain situations, and I remember asking this once years ago to somebody, and for example, somebody breaks an arm really badly,
mm-hmm.
and you see that the arm is broken, it'll take an open miracle for that to heal.
Mm-hmm.
Even the Ramban would tell you, go to a doctor to have it fixed.
And I would say, yes, yeah.
Because otherwise, you're literally relying on an open miracle.
Crazy miracles. Now, I think that's obvious too, and that's how some people try to connect the Ramban with the Chovas Levavos. They try putting it together and saying, no, the Ramban doesn't really mean it that way, and the Chovas Levavos doesn't really mean it that way. It's just from the wording of both the Chovas Levavos and the Ramban, if you look at it inside, it seems pretty clear what they're talking about, and it seems that they are arguing on the main point of how much ishtadlus he should have, and that point is argued about over here.
Either way, they would both agree, because even for most of Rabbeinu's times, if you had a shayra, you have to ask your rabbi.
Oh, that for sure.
If you're going to hold by that, then you're not going to do that. Fine, you break your arm, the bone's sticking out, so you can't play your rabbi and say, okay, should I rely on
it? I mean, that's a little crazy. You gotta hope that the rub is on that. Because if I'm the rabbi that's getting that question, rabbi, my arm, do you see my bone? Should I go to the doctor? You know what I'm gonna do? Like, I'm gonna cause the other bone to come out. That's what I'm gonna end up doing. There's no way I'm gonna pull out that bone further. Either way, Unkelus uses the word, when translating the word vihisi gucha, is the word, I don't know if I'm pronouncing this correctly, viad bikinach, right? That you should be stuck to. Rav Yonasan Abshit says that the brachos will come down to the world through us. It'll be stuck to you, and through us the brachos will go out to the other nations. It's a Gemara in Tainus. Eretz Yisrael shows the tchila. Eretz Yisrael gets water first. The kol olam kulu lebesof. The rest of the world gets it from Eretz Yisrael. Obviously, right? We see the world, and we look at the world the way we're seeing, and we're like, wait, Eretz Yisrael barely gets rain. How could it be? But the point is that Eretz Yisrael brings down the shefa to the world. Those who are davening bring down that shepherd of the world. Sometimes we're zoka to get it, sometimes we're not. Rabbi Hanina ben Dosa was known that the whole world was nizun in his schus. They all got parnasa in the schus of Rabbi Hanina ben Dosa. Rabbi Hanina ben Dosa himself only got a kav of charuvin, of buxer, that he got per week, and that's all he was allowed to get. Meaning, yes, it came down through him, but he didn't necessarily benefit from such a thing. But to go on in a different vein, the Alshich, right? Moshe Alshich says this bracha is so great that you're guaranteed that these brachas won't be given to you from Malachim. It'll be given to you straight from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Uvo Alecha Kol HaBrachos Eilav Yisigucha. That it's not going to be that there's Malachim, because if there's Malachim, there could be something stopping them. Here you're promised everything's going to go straight through. And the Chidah says, just to go in the same type of vein going through here, that even though normally people see, when you look at somebody that has, you know, things that are good, you always see something wrong. And maybe the guy has a lot of money, but he's not able to have children. If the guy has money and children, maybe his children are not going in the proper derech. This guy has all that, but maybe there's something else that's going on. He doesn't have chokma. There's something else. Whenever you look at somebody, there's always something that you could say, like, well, he doesn't have all the brachos in the world. Says the Chidah, this bracha of Yisigucha is that everyone's going to look at the Jews at this time, and they're going to say, they have everything. Everything you could ever want is now by the Jews. They have absolutely everything that a person could ever have. And when they realize that, they're going to say, well, we should also believe in God, and then they'll get it for themselves. It's going to be the ultimate Kiddush Hashem, where everyone wants to be connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, says the Chidah. And that's the idea of what the Yisi Gucha should mean, that everybody, Kisi Shema V'Kol Hashem Elokecha, that everybody will then listen to the voice of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Obviously a reference to what will be Bizman Mashiach, what the idea is going to be. Rabbi Hanina Mendoza is not a peer. I mean, that's going to be a different level, because the Tanayim are on a different, in a different story, a different vein.
Right, but people will not see that this bracha is coming true. They'll see, like, oh, this is the biggest tzaddik, yeah, and he's got nothing.
You're so correct. I mean, that was a problem by many, many people. Rabbi Elazar,
at that time,
exactly.
I mean, doesn't the world, for the most part, the majority of the world believes in God.
Mm-hmm.
The majority of the world, whether in a nice way or not nice way, you know, believes, are jealous of the Jews, or believe that the Jews have a very special place. We control the media, we control whatever, or we're rich, blah, blah, blah.
Okay.
The point is that, so we're already past that point. Most of the world believes that stuff.
Yeah, but in a bad way. And I don't know, they don't believe the Jews who believe in God feel that way. They believe that the Jews who are out there, the greedy ones, so to speak. But wait, getting back to your question, right?
So
I get it. So there's something there, but it might not be the right thing. But I guess it depends. It depends on how you look at it. There's definitely something. But if you want to be able to realize this full bracha with its full effect, I would assume that the way we have to have it is if everybody does something in the correct vein, and then when we do something in the correct vein and we're immediately rewarded, that's when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives it to us. But those brachas are not fully there for us. We definitely do not have all those brachas nowadays with all the good that we have. It's just not there. The Chassam Sofer quotes a Rambam in Perush Mishnayos. This Rambam in Perush Mishnayos says that if it's time for someone to be punished, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to make sure it happens at the time when that person is sinning. So that it's like a double curse. Not only is he being punished, but he's being punished during the sin as if he deserves to be cursed. Says the Chassam Sofer, V'yisiguch over here is exactly the opposite. When you get rewarded for mitzvahs that you do or for good things that you do, it'll happen at a time when you're doing a mitzvah. So it's going to be a double reward. It's going to be even better. And that's the idea that over here, V'yisiguch, you're going to get these brachos when? Kisishma b'kol Hashem alkecha. While you're in the midst of listening to the voice of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's what's going to happen right at that moment, and then you're going to get the bracha. Okay, now we're going to get into a different idea, and this is also a really cool way of looking at it. Rav Hirsch says the brachos will literally overtake you, meaning these brachos are not going to be the results of your actions. They're not going to be that you're going to do something and all of a sudden you're going to get a bracha, and that's going to be the result of what you did. That's not the way you have to look at it. It's precisely because, says Rav Hirsch, you didn't go after the brachos that you're rewarded with getting these types of things. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is rewarding you to help you in your ultimate goal, which is to be the best person out there in this world. That's the idea. Once you decide that, I just want to be a good person, I don't care what the reward is, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu rewards you to continue in that quest. That's the idea behind it. Says the Kli Yakar, it's the same type of idea that it says over here, Uvohu Alecha. It says the idea when a son of Hashem, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving it to you, he's giving it to you in this way, says the Kli Yakar, that Kola Rodef Achar Shrara, that if you chase after leadership positions, if you chase after a role where you're going to be in charge, then
Shwara Borachas Menem. You're never going to become a king in charge. You're never going to be that person. However, if you start running away from Shwara, that's when Shwara is put upon you. The idea is that you're going to be something, whether you like it or not. If you try to become a leader, to become somebody who's going to be in charge, somebody who's going to rule over other people, because you just like being somebody in charge, then people will run away from you. And they'll see, I don't want to be with that guy. Nobody wants to be under a leader, a person who's in charge, who's messed up and makes bad decisions, because he's doing it out of kavod or gaiva or any of those reasons. Is that... get a chord with anything that might be going on in the NFL today. I mean, yeah, we could go to President Obama as well. But nobody wants a leader that's going to be more gaivetic and into cover. And I want to be the leader and anything like that. It's the opposite. It's the person who everybody is saying, you should be the leader. And he's saying, no, I don't think I should be a leader. That's the guy who ends up becoming a leader. That's the cover that comes after you. It's the brachos that are going to come upon you, says the Kliyakar, the Isi Gucha. You're going to get them when you're running away from it. Purposely because you're saying, I don't want it. That's when you'll get these brachos. Alenu Lishabeach brings this. He brings up a story with Rebbe Yashiv. He says, Alenu Lishabeach was written by Rabbi Yitzchak Zilberstein. It's the son-in-law of Rebbe Yashiv. He brings down, he feels that this is the reason why Rebbe Yashiv became the person that he became, the Posek Ador. See, everybody knew that Rebbe Yashiv used to give a shir in Gemara. He used to give a Gemara shir every night in Mea Sharm. At the end of his life, toward the last 30, 40 years of Rebbe Yashiv's life, the people who came to the shir were like top Talmidei Chachamim. Because they realized Rebbe Yashiv's giving one shir every day. So they would come there and they'd sit down at Rebbe Yashiv's feet, and Rebbe Yashiv would say these Kedushim that nobody had ever heard before. What they didn't know, what many people don't know, is that this shir used to be given to pure Amiratim. People that were just like Balabatim that would go to work and they literally never learned anything. They didn't do anything in their lives. And they would come to hear from Rebbe Yashiv. Rebbe Yashiv would give a shir, a high level shir, to these guys. And he would do the same level shir that he was giving later on in life. He gave it to these guys, but they didn't always get where he was coming from. So Rebbe Yitzchak Zilberstein was young. He had just married Rebbe Yashiv's daughter. And he sat in on one of these shirim where there was a bunch of people that just literally had no idea what was going on. Okay? And they were learning Perek HaChovel, he remembers, the eighth Perek of Baba Kama, which is all about what happens when a person damages another person. He said the following. The guy, a guy posed a question. One of these guys posed a question. He said, what would happen if a non-Jew turns himself into a sheep? And then the ox gores the sheep. So would that be like an ox goring a person? Or would it be like an ox goring a sheep? And that would depend on how much you'd have to pay. I think the non-Jew is because you don't have to pay for a non-Jew's ox if it's gored. Right? You don't have to pay for that, right? That's Shor Ehu, the Gemara and Lamed Zayin of an Aleph and Bava Kama. You're not paying for that unless it's through their dinim. You're not chayiv to pay for that. But if you kill a person, the ox kills a person, it's there. So let's say your ox gores a person who turned himself into a sheep. What's the halacha? Okay, so that's what he asked. So the people that were there were like, oh my gosh, just don't talk. You know, everybody's like shushing him. Everybody's like, oh my gosh, this is the craziest question we've ever heard. Just stop it. Not getting there. Rebbe Yashiv is like, silence. They see Rebbe Yashiv is silent, so they look at him. Like, why are you taking this seriously? Rebbe Yashiv goes and says, I guess it depends on the following chakira. The chakira would be the following. Is the mahus, the actual, what is that creature? Is it a person who's dressed up as a sheep? Or is it the etzem a sheep until he turns himself back into a person? The problem is that we don't have the kelim to understand such a shaila. And I can't answer because I don't have the kelim to understand it. So therefore we're going to have to go on. And he goes on. Sizri Yitzchak Zilberstein, he was floored. Now we need to think for a second. Rebbe Yashiv was never a teacher. Never a Rebbe, especially not a Rebbe of kids. If you've ever been a Rebbe of kids, you know that the first thing that you need over anything else is patience. Because if you don't have patience, you are going to go crazy and you're going to be hitting kids. That's going to happen. Because kids ask the darndest things. They are just darned. They are crazy at it. And it's unbelievable what they ask. The fact that Rebbe Yashiv, who's a person who used to learn and sit by himself all day long, was able to have the patience to sit and pretend like this was a serious question and answer it as if this person was asking a great question and give him that type of answer in order to get around. Because Zilberstein said, there's no question that's the reason why Shrara ran after a person like Rebbe Yashiv. He never wanted to be a leader, but leadership followed him because he's the perfect person to be able to get it. That's the reason Rebbe Yitzchak said, the reason why he ended up getting it. What's up, guys? I'm Bullock answered the same thing?
No, the guy turned himself into a...
Yeah, the Ben Ish Chai, that's right, about how a Mullik turned themselves into sheep. And the Ben Ish Chai says that the way to tell if a person is a sheep or a person is you look at the eyes of the animal. If the animal's eyes looks like an animal eye, it's an animal. If the eye of the animal looks like a human eye, then it's a person. You should always check the sheep before you shech them, says the Ben Ish Chai. Right? That's always good advice for everybody, by the way. That is an important thing. So granted, it might have happened once, but the kasha to ask that question in the middle of a shir, which clearly had nothing to do with it, was a little strange. That's the idea behind it. Then it Steve doesn't understand, though. He says, I don't understand. You're running away from Brachos? Who runs away from Brachos? Kadosh Baruch Hu is trying to give you $1 million. And he's like, no, please, don't. I don't want that. Give it to somebody else, not me. Who does that, says the Netziv. So Netziv says a great line over here, and it really makes a lot of sense. He says, if you're Osek in Torah, and you're learning all day long, right? You're happy, you're satisfied, things are good, and that's that, right? And you're dealing with it. If there's a little bit of money that you could make on the side, an extra, you know, like I guess like $1,000. If you're really Osek in Torah, you're not going to do it. You're going to tell, you know what, I'm not in the mood right now. Granted, it's a little bit of money, and I could use a little bit of money because I'm not making enough, but I'm really Osek in Torah. If I'm going to have to miss a day of learning, I don't know if I'm going to do it. If your head's not in learning, right, then the first opportunity that you get to make any amount of money, you're just going to go ahead and get it. I can answer that for you with most guys in Skokie Yeshiva, where if their head's in learning, you could offer them any job in the world and they'll say, no, I'm not going to do it. But you ask a guy who's not in learning whatsoever, you offer the guy $10 an hour, he's like, I'll do it. For how long? Every day? All day? I'll do it. That's that, because when your head's not in learning, you just, whatever, it doesn't make a difference. It's, I can make $10. What, you want me to be in Seder? I can make $10. Honestly, for $10, you're doing that? And even when you offer than the money. No. I want to work for my money, please. This is like...
That's what I'm sending you to. Meaning like, it's the same idea that you have to do something shabbos so you know that you need to work right now.
The kasha is when it's happening.
Right. So somebody, you're in base medrash, somebody comes and says, you want to make $1,000. Maybe that's what I'm sending you, $1,000.
Granted, to a guy in a base medrash who could make $1,000 during that time, that would be a significant amount of money.
Right.
That's what I'm saying. Relative to the person, how much would it be that's right over there? Says that it is, it's the other way though. If the person is learning Torah, and he's guaranteed that if you stop learning Torah for a day, and he's learning, he's mamish into it, he doesn't want to lose a day. But they tell him, listen, if you stop learning Torah for right now, then I'm going to give you $1 million. It's very possible the guy will say, well, he'll make a cheshbon. If I get the $1 million now, I'll be able to sit and learn for the rest of my life. I'll put it in a bank account, just get the interest from that money for a year, and I'll be able to live off that interest for the rest of my life. I'll give it out to my kids. I'm sorry?
The high interest rate.
Well, that's what I'm hoping for. A big CD, right? I'll be able to get something. I'll get something to be able to go.
0.5 first.
Let's say you get like, let's say you would make...
5%.
We're talking imaginary world. In my imaginary world, you are going to make all this money off of your interest. So you're fine. We're perfectly fine right now. So once you're able to get it, says in its seeds, if you're getting it and you're there and you know that you're going to be able to win for the rest of your life, you'll be able to give money to your kids. You'll have that. Then even then, the person who's owes you the Torah will say, fine, I'll take that. That makes sense to me. I'll go ahead and get it. And I'll take that for myself. See, this is the pshat. Says in its seeds. When you're normally running away from the Hevlei Olam, you're running away from those types of things. That's the time where the bracha is given to him, VC Gula, to be able to make it at a certain point. That's when it's going to be given over, and then all of a sudden you'll get a ton of it. Something will just come to you. There will be a bracha that will come to you when your head is in learning. And that's what it means. The guy's running away from... He's not running away from any money. It's that he's not looking forward to it. He's keeping his head in learning and not allowing himself to be distracted by the little things. That's when the big thing will come, and you'll be helped out in a certain way. The Kedusha Rim says that you should not change after receiving these brachos. VC Gula means you should not get yerida from them, and you shouldn't change your lifestyle because of it. But Funim of Shischa says you should be a base kibble, the ability to be able to accept them and bring them in. But we're going to have to look at it a little bit differently. There is a grub that says an unbelievable little line over here, and he just says regarding this something else entirely. You know, when there is a psak in Shemayim, that let's just say, like, John over there is supposed to get a lot of money. That John is going to make a lot of money, you know, this year. So the way that goes is like this. It's Rosh Hashanah, it's Paskin and Rosh Hashanah, that John is going to make $1 million, $100,000, whatever it's supposed to be, it's going to be there. In order for that to come down, that bracha, to come down to this world and for it to apply to him, it has to get through all of the olamos up there with all these malachim. There are malachim on all different levels that are sitting there and they're saying, does John really deserve that?
Well, let's take a look at John. And on every level, they take a look at him. And every time there's something wrong, from each level that this goes down to, they take away a little bit of it. So it might have started off as, John should get $100,000. But then it made it through level one. And they said, he doesn't deserve $100,000. He deserves about $95,000. And then it goes down to level two. And it goes, it's not $95,000. He's got to be knocked down to $90,000. And then level three and level four. And there's an infinite amount of levels. And at a certain level, you're above that. So it goes straight through and you're fine. But at a certain level, you're able to get through. It's like somebody who's able, who keeps Shabbos, keeps kosher, and keeps hilchos, whatever it is, right? If he's able to keep the basic halachos, he'll get through like the bottom, I don't know, million levels, right? Somebody who's a little bit better than that will go through, etc. And it's possible that the shepherd will go straight through straight. It could be that you did one great thing that is able to just make it go straight through without any questions whatsoever. Where they decide you're getting $100,000, and all the malachim are stopped, the mekatrigim, the accusers are all stopped, because there's one thing that's sort of like a pipe that just lets it come straight down without them getting their hands on it. That's possible. But usually there's something holding it back, something that's not allowing it to come down. So even though the psak was there, it doesn't come down, says the Gra. This is the Gra in Mishlei, Perek Yud Beis Pasuk Chaf. And unfortunately, sometimes we lose it. The bracha that's given over here, says the Gra, is vihisi gucha, that even if you don't deserve it, even if they look at it in Shemayim and they say, no, 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 there's a pipe that goes through, and the pipe, it just goes straight through to you. You don't even try for it. It's automatically to you because you had one schus, one big mitzvah that allows it to go through. And that's why everybody should concentrate on something. There's one thing that should be your mitzvah. Your mitzvah, that this is something that I specialize in. And it should be something big. Might as well be something big. If you're the beaker, you're a beaker cholim guy. You're the guy who's willing to visit hospitals, to visit the sick on a day that you have off for 2 hours. You're willing to go to a hospital, visit people who are cancer patients, and cheer them up just by sitting down with them. You're the guy who deals with, you know, goes to an old age home and sits down with the elderly people and just sits and listens to a story. Sits and listens to a story. You know how much mysterious nefesh that'll take? You ever heard these stories? You work in nursing homes. Sure, some of you have heard something like that. So you're able to go around. How about working for, I don't know, Chavra Kedisha, and taking care of a body, a person who passed away, and to be able to do something like that, being a tenth man in a minion that normally doesn't get a minion, be that guy. There's something that you are where if somebody knows they need a certain chesed, a certain whatever it is, you are that guy for it. And you have to choose something. And that schus, whatever it is, will allow for the brachos to be the isigucha. It's going to go straight through without any problems. That's the concept of what could be. And to end us off, to stop over here, the Yisi Gucha in the Kwelos, by the curses, and Pasuk Tesvav is written with a Vav. The Yisi Gucha Gimel Vav Chaf. The Yisi Gucha written by the Brachos is without a Vav. There's no Vav there. Sakasha is obviously, what does that mean? Why is the Vav written over there and not over here? So Reb Chaim Kanievsky says, it's an unbelievable pshat, but you have to know, like, Mamish Tanach Bal Peh. By Parshas Nusa, when it talks about Birchas Kohanim, the pasuk says, "Vaydaber Hashem al Moshe al Lemor," right? "Daber al Aron the Vorku was Bnei Yisrael Amor Lahem." Give a bracha to Bnei Yisrael. Say to them the following: "Amor Emor Lahem" is written Aleph Mem Vav Resh, with an extra vav inside there, right, to represent the cholam. That's how the word Emor is written. And says Rashi, the way these brachas should be given is slowly. They should be given to you one by one by one by one. That they should not be done quickly. The Kohanim should not run through the brachos. They should say it slowly, and the brachos should be given to you one by one by one. Because sometimes all these brachos fall upon you all at once, right? You can get a tremendous ayin hara. And an ayin hara can hurt a person. So, says Reb Chaim Kanievsky, the concept over here is the same type of way. It's malay, that means it goes slowly. That meaning, by the curses, we want it to go slowly because we won't be able to handle it. By the brachos, we want it to go quickly because this is a time when Klal Yisrael deserves brachos. And if Klal Yisrael entirely deserves brachos, there's no ayin hara. If there's no ayin hara, we have nothing to worry about. Everything should work out well in that way. Of course, there could be that there are times when you want it to go a little bit quicker. You want the brachas to come to you quicker? We're asking B.C. Gucha without the Vav so that we slowly but surely get used to it and bring ourselves to a level. So here's what we went through. Our basic idea was that the brachas are going to come to you without you even trying. That was our first shot. We then said a question of whether or not you should put your ishtadlus forth or just allow the brachas to come to you without doing anything whatsoever. We then said the idea of either all these different little vorts of how it's going to come to you when you really don't look for it and you're not trying to get it. That was Rav Hirsch and the Kli Yakar, as well as the story of Rebel Yashiv, maybe even the Netziv, how you're running away, but yet it's coming to you anyway because you deserve it, and it's coming straight to you because of that reason. Then we said over the idea of the Gron, really the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, that the Shefa goes through worlds in order to come to you. This is going to come straight through, and we ended with Rechaim Knievsky on why there's an extra vav that's written in the Klolos, but not over here. We'll stop with that guy.